At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi guys. Oh wait, sorry, wrong show, wrong night. Welcome everybody to the Wrestling Inc. After Show. We're covering SmackDown here on July 5th, the go home episode to the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. I got two of my absolute favorite people. Say it all the time. Doesn't make it any less true. I got Jimmy Corderas, John Jordan with me, the two J's with the big G. How you doing, guys?
Good. John, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Fresh off a holiday with the family. I've got a book here with me. I know I'm not the book guy on this show usually, but something I've been meaning to read for quite some time now.
Oh.
And it's finally in my possession. So I'll report back soon.
Yeah, please let me know what you think.
Absolutely.
I still have yet to order it myself, unfortunately, but it's coming. I got that Amazon gift card coming my way. That's going to be used up for a nice three count book that I can't wait to dive into. But speaking of Jimmy, because it looks like SmackDown was like what, 5 minutes from your house? How far are you from the? Is it still called Air Canada Center, Rogers Center? No, what's it called these days?
No, Scotiabank Arena.
Scotiabank Arena.
They've changed more names than WWE changes names on certain talents, but probably about a half hour to 3 hours, depending on traffic.
Oh my God. Sounds like you're in Los Angeles.
Trust me, we're getting there.
It's funny because even with like WrestleMania last year, everybody was like, how far is one place to another place? It's like, we don't really measure things in miles here. We measure things by minutes because on a day like yesterday, we can get to a place in 10 minutes. But if it's anything like, you know, Mania weekend, it can get like 2 hours. So it sounds like Toronto's not too far off than that too.
Yeah, it's pretty like the Sky Dome, or I'll still call it the Sky Dome. They can call it whatever they want. It's apparently the Rogers Center now, but for me, it'll always
be. Oh, come on. Yeah, it's going to be the Sky Dome.
Yeah. And the Scotiabank Arena are about a 5-10 minute walk.
Oh, wow.
Between each other. So that's, you know, forget the Uber stuff. Just walk it. It's easier.
Yeah. But what I want to get into is because I looks like I went to the WWE Twitter page and it looks like you were. You were not too far from where SmackDown was. I want to get some kind of behind-the-scenes news. You know, who was in town? Was MJF backstage and catering trying to get a job? You know, was Ricky Stark there? That's what I want to know. I want to know who was there, who you know, was the behind-the-scenes. I want to know the exclusive info they can only find here on Wrestling Inc.
There's really no exclusive info. It's just all the people you saw on SmackDown tonight are pretty much who you saw there. You know, and there are, of course, a few people that are on the SmackDown roster. And I got to say hello to a lot of old friends, a lot of new friends, got to make some acquaintances. And that was really cool. You know, it's really weird when you haven't seen someone for a while that, you know, that old camaraderie just comes back. It's almost like it's natural.
You hear that, John? That's called kayfabe. He knows all the secrets, but doesn't mean he's gonna open up that book.
And I'm sitting here just nodding in agreement because I haven't been on with you guys in a little bit. I just come from my hometown and saw a bunch of people I haven't seen in a while. And there you go. You're saying Jimmy's pulling the wool over our eyes. But no, I believe you, Jimmy. I think you're telling the truth.
Yeah. Well, at least one of you does.
But yes, thank you for joining us, everybody in the chat. We got Uncle Howdy, Brianne Milligan, Alicia A. Can't wait to hear from you guys in the chat and anybody else that's, I guess, the lurkers, as Jack Farmer would like to say. But I'm gonna do something different today. I'm gonna start off with something different. I want to start off with a little bit of fun, some FUN before we get the show kicked off. I'm a big trivia guy when it comes to WWE or professional wrestling in general. So I'm gonna give both of you guys, and it's funny, I'm hoping that one of you at least knows the answer, a little trivia question. Considering they're in Toronto today, it's no secret WrestleMania has been in Toronto twice, WrestleMania 6 and WrestleMania 18, both from the same building. So my question for I guess maybe both of you and everybody out there watching, everybody out there listening, is out of the two WrestleManias, and I'm asking this because we ended tonight's show with a championship match, out of the two WrestleManias, Jimmy Corderas has refereed one championship match out of those two WrestleManias. What was that championship match? I'm not going to give you guys the answer now. Anybody that's in the chat, I'm going to give you guys the answer at the end of the show. So, again, two WrestleManias, one championship match refereed by the guy on my right, I guess you can say.
You're right.
Yeah. Which match is that? So everybody, if you want to go onto the Peacock, maybe do a little research while you're watching us, while you're listening to us. You know, you guys got time. You guys got about 45, 50 minutes before I reveal that big answer. Do you at least have a guess, Jimmy?
No. That's incredible. I'm thinking back to 18. I'm thinking back to 6. I'm almost pretty positive it wasn't at WrestleMania 6 because I was still a little bit of a greenhorn then.
Well, so, WrestleMania 6 had two championship matches, so that, you know, maybe maybe a little hint on the answer.
Okay. I know what the main event was. It was Warrior Hogan. I know I didn't do that.
any guesses from you, John?
I think I have one, but I think I'm going to keep it to myself for now, and I'll deliver later. How about that? I promise I didn't cheat. Could very well be wrong.
as the Macho Man would say, I dig it. But before we dive into SmackDown, I do want to go a little bit with some news. AEW TBS and New Japan Strong Women's Champion Mercedes Moné confirms recent meeting with Shane McMahon. So apparently they bumped into a New York airport not too long ago. And Mercedes said, after it all, by only the fates aligned, I walked to the airport, was in line by the bagel shop when I suddenly wake up, and there he was, Shane McMahon. Apparently, you know, the universe has working in divine timing. So there's been a lot of rumors going on. Jim Ross saying that I think he said that he spoke with Shane McMahon not too long. I mean, it looks like they kind of keep in touch. And he said he'd love to have Shane McMahon in AEW at some point. That's just going to further the rumors along. John, I want to ask you, is this going to be a big deal or just another guy showing up in AEW if Shane ever does show up?
I think this would be probably the best example potentially of a really big deal right away with, you know, it's all about the follow-up that we don't often get in AEW. And that's been a critique that we've had over the time, right? It's Shane McMahon. It's a huge name. It would shake things up quite a bit for sure. It's one of those, you never thought you would see this happen type of situations. But you know, nothing is obviously set in stone yet. I know that Mercedes followed things up with a newsletter she puts out and said it's something along the lines of telling the story and then the rest is history or maybe a mystery. So she's playing, she's working a little bit here, which you would expect her to do. Hey, you know, I'd be all for it. Why not spice things up a little bit?
I mean, WWE has formerly a McMahon and a Khan. I guess AEW can have their own McMahon and a Khan, an AEW. Would that, do you think, draw some eyeballs? I think probably initially, Jimmy, as we all agree, but as John said, it's all about the follow-up.
Exactly. I think it'll draw an eyes initially because it's a name, the McMahon name. It's synonymous with wrestling, regardless of what's going on in, you know, with the other McMahon name. But Shane would add, like you said, a little spice to the product. They could do a lot of things. There's a lot of directions they can go with that. I mentioned something about it on Twitter the other day. People say, yeah, but he's too old to wrestle and he's going to get hurt. Who says anything about wrestling? Mm-hmm. Bring him back in an authority figure kind of way where, you know, he's aligned with the with the Bucks trying to take over AEW from Tony Khan, something along those lines. He's the guy financially backing them in a hostile takeover kind of situation or whatever. You can play any kind of storylines out of this, but I think, again, the trick will be if this is true and if it were to happen, how do you follow it up? How do you sustain the buzz that it's going to get?
Yeah, I guess we all have to go ahead.
I think that would be perfect. And we've said in the past that, you know, AEW could use an on-screen authority figure, right? So I would get a little – two things would frighten me a little bit or concern me, rather. One would be, you know, AEW already has a penchant for leaning into the WWE stuff a little bit too much for a lot of people's tastes, right? Imagine if they had a McMahon on the payroll, right, as well. It would be almost impossible to steer away from a lot of uncomfortable jokes and things like that that we'd want to stay away from. And two, no, Shane doesn't have to wrestle, but if he ever did find himself in a situation where getting physical made some sense, we know he can do it, and we know he's a little cuckoo, as they say. You've got some other cuckoo folks over there. Like, I would hope that a 50-something-year-old Shane McMahon doesn't want to one-up a Darby Allin, let's say, or anything like that.
Yeah, either way, it should be fun. I keep saying it consistently when I'm on the Wednesday show on here on Dynamite or here on the Wrestling Inc. is wrestling is just fun. It's just so much fun right now. I mean, yeah, we all criticize AEW just a little bit. But either way, it's fun. It's such a great time to be a wrestling fan. Yeah. And if Shane ever does come over to AEW, man, what a kink or... the kink in the machine. What a great way to just kind of further along the funness of what pro wrestling is. So we'll see how that goes.
Can you imagine how much it'll set the IWC on its ear?
Oh my God!
The internet wrestling community would lose their you know what.
Can't wait. some more news coming out of the Wrestling Inc. Update on contract status of WWE star Angel Garza. He was another buddy. He was somebody else that whose contract was expiring over the summertime, and apparently he has signed or re-signed for another 3 years. So we're going to keep seeing Angel Garza in the WWE for the foreseeable future. Right now, he's in the Legado del Fantasma, and so he's on TV on a regular basis. So here's a guy that's a former WWE NXT Cruiserweight champion, and we'll probably see a lot more of him now that he's going to be there in the foreseeable future. Although I do want to say Humberto Carrillo's contract expires in about a month or so. So we'll see how that goes with the negotiation. So either way, Angel Garza is staying in WWE for the next 3 years, at least. Jimmy, here's a guy that's got the lineage. He's not a son. I want to say he's a nephew of Hector Garza, somebody that we've seen in WWE before and a lot more in WCW. What do you think the limit is for somebody like an Angel Garza? Do you think he just maybe stick with a tag division and try to help revitalize that, which we'll get into tonight? Or do you see maybe Intercontinental, US, maybe a world champion material for Angel Garza?
You know, he has the goods to do that. He had to go out single and accomplish those goals. But I think right now, I don't think they see that in him just yet. I think they're going to stick with the tag team division, like you said, George, and try to revitalize that to some extent. And we're going to talk about what happened tonight with regards to the tag team division. But it does need a little bit of a shot in the arm. You know, obviously the singles titles and all the other stuff going on with the Bloodline and that stuff has been front and center. And the tag team division has taken, you might say, a little bit of a backseat. So maybe this is a good shot in the arm, and maybe this is a sign that they're going to try to revitalize that division with someone like an Angel Garza.
Yeah, and I think that there was some promise on tonight's show, which we'll get to. I did hear Michael Cole say that, Corey Graves said the theme of tonight's show is tag team wrestling, right? So there's some promise for some revamping of that division down the road. With Garza, I got to be honest with you, I was surprised to see that he resigned because we didn't hear too much other than that contract was coming up. And my takeaway at the time when that news first broke was it didn't sound like that was going to happen for whatever reason. Maybe that I just read it wrong or what have you. But, you know, with Berto, perhaps the same thing is going on that we're not hearing about. And obviously with his tag team partner and family member, I believe, right? In real life.
Their cousins?
Yeah. That's incentive, obviously, to stick around. And they're in this day and age with options and the ability to make money in several different places better than in recent years, for sure, these days. I wouldn't think anybody would be sticking around anywhere where they didn't think that they had an opportunity to flourish and be involved in something meaningful.
Yeah, I've always been a big fan of Angel Garza. I did camera work for a couple of indie shows out here, and he's always been a nice guy, extremely talented. And yeah, can't wait to see what's next for him. I want to get into the next piece of news, but I want to ask you something, John, specifically, because I know you also contribute to the writing of Wrestling Inc. And Wrestling Inc., and I'm seriously not just saying this, that's been my go-to for the news for a very, very long time. So again, I want to emphasize everything good about Wrestling Inc. With that said, John, can I? This is a legit question, and I try to be positive for the most part. Why is because the headline is Dave Meltzer takes issue with WWE's wrestling WrestleMania 40 documentary. Why is the headline like a journalist and his opinion?
Oh, well, put me on the spot, my friend. Well, number one, I didn't write that article. Number two, I didn't write the headline. You know, I don't know Dave Meltzer from a hole in the wall, and who in the heck am I to have, you know, to try and take him down a notch from wherever he's established himself to be in this stage. He's around for a long time, but in my personal opinion, as a fan, forget about my affiliations professionally or whatever, I feel like he makes himself part of the story too much as it is. So I wouldn't begrudge anyone for putting the twist on that headline, right? I think there's my guess is that there is a large contingency of Wrestling Inc. readers that probably are very entertained by Dave says this, Dave says that, Dave gets this right, Dave gets this wrong, Dave maybe gets worked sometimes here and there. And that would probably be part of the reason for that spin on that headline.
So just to continue, in today's newsletter, Dave Meltzer took issue with some of what was presented in the documentary, the WrestleMania 40 documentary that premiered on Wednesday. According to the reporter, the events depicted in the special are a sanitized version of what actually took place. Though Meltzer's interpretations of the company was that the company deciding between Rhodes and Rock as Reigns' opponent, the writer claims WWE higher-ups had already made a definitive decision on the matter in favor of The Rock, which was obviously changed down the line. So it's not really divulging too much into it. I think maybe more the story of the past couple of days was, oh, WWE is clearly premiering the documentary at in my time, 4 o'clock p.m. 7 Eastern, so it can conflict with Dynamite and take some of their viewers. It was less than an hour, so it had nothing to do with that. So a lot of it is the assumption, but is it, Jimmy? I do want to ask you: do you think people these days, as far as back? And again, I'm not trying to knock him. I actually respect Dave Meltzer in many ways. I'm just saying what I said because I feel like your or John's opinions is much more valuable than he's just another guy. Just another guy that writes a newsletter, right? But like, do people still put merit as far as maybe you think the wrestlers think like, oh, I wonder what my rating was on my match at Backlash?
I think some do. I think some of the younger wrestlers, I hate to put it that way, do. Yeah. A lot of the older guys were very anti, from what I remember, not big fans of Mr. Meltzer, let's put it that way. And they're very, what is a 5-star match? That really grinds their gears for some of the guys. A 5-star match. What the heck is a 5-star match? How does he know what a 5-star match is? And they do all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
With all due respect to Dave, it's one man's opinion. Mm-hmm. All his stuff, all his critiques of matches, whatever he says, and his analysis of matches are his opinion. Is he very knowledgeable about the business? Yeah. And as far as this article goes with him taking issue with the documentary itself. He's working off of what he's been told. And I'm not saying that everything that was put in the documentary was 100%, because sometimes, you know, they like peeling back the curtain, but they don't want to break the wall down completely. You know, you got to keep some stuff in-house. And whether some stuff was held back and not completely 100% honest, you know, who's going to know except those that were in the room?
Yeah.
So now he's just going on the assumption of what someone told him. And that's part of the problem that a lot of the boys have, is like, somebody told him this. How accurate is it? And it could be someone's interpretation that he's hearing. So it's a lot of noise, but got to filter out what you think is real and what's not. And a lot of people, really buy into what he says.
Yeah. What I and absolutely go ahead.
I'm sorry, George. Then you also never know what the agenda is behind those interpretations, right? Or depending on who it's coming from and things of that nature. I did see the doc already. I don't know if you guys have. My takeaway was, and I compared it to the most recent documentary before that by WWE, which was the Bray Wyatt documentary, which, as we know, has played into storyline. And I'm not saying that's what this did, but my one takeaway initially was that it came across very Rock-centric, in that he was responsible for this, he was responsible for that, I made this call, it was my idea, whatever type of thing. And there's a lot of memes going around on the internet that now Rocky he's taking credit for everything. That's not exactly the case. But it actually, and I'm speculating here, but it actually sort of fits pretty well with his most recent Final Boss character, right? Mm-hmm. He's on the board. They're blurring the lines between reality and you know, entertainment. They could always go back to that. You know, we saw the tease of Uncle Howdy at the end of a very, very serious and well done Bray Wyatt documentary, and look what that's, you know, turned into here. So, you know, it could go that way as well.
What I absolutely love about today's version of WWE is they're peeling back the curtain, but they're doing it in a way where, like, they're still, like, putting on a show. Like, you think that, oh my God, I get to see what's going on back there, but they're still deciding on what to show you. You know what I mean? Like, right. It's still for a purpose. It's still for a reason. Like, we saw a lot of, like, ooh, I get to see what goes on backstage, but it goes, I'm not saying it was just for this purpose, but then it made the whole Wyatt Six thing make so much more mm-hmm. sense, as far as like, oh, so that's kind of how it looked, you know, so that kind of impact. I haven't seen the documentary yet, but I still think there's a large portion of what they're not telling us. And I always go back to the screw job, because how long did it take for them to finally be like, oh yeah, I knew about it the whole time, mm-hmm. when they, for years on TV and everything, they always made it feel like it was just Vince and Earl Hebner that knew. But it wasn't until like 2002 where Sean and Hunter were like, oh yeah, we knew. It was kind of our idea too. Cornette was like, oh yeah, I told her. I was the one that gave him the idea, you know. So, you know, I, like going on what John said, it's like, I still think there's something that they're not telling us, and I'm happy that they don't need to tell us everything. Like, if it turns out this was the plan the whole time, I kind of don't even want to know. I want them to kind of keep, because whatever story that they're telling us, whatever narrative telling us, that's still pretty cool. You know what I mean?
It's like when you have a wonderful recipe for a meal and somebody says, hey, I want that recipe for the meal. So you give them the recipe, but you leave out a little bit of the ingredients. It's still going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
It's not going to be quite as fantastic as if you add all the ingredients. So.
And don't forget too, guys, that, you know, I think this was initially supposed to come out, what, the WrestleMania, the Wednesday after WrestleMania.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it only just now came out. It was advertised as such. There's a reason for that. Again, mm-hmm. speculation, but they're not going to put out anything other than what they want you to see. And, you know, how can you question it with the way things are going right now?
Right.
1,000%.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Let's get into SmackDown. By the way, nobody in the chat has answered the question at all. So I always feel good when I ask a question and nobody can get it. It kind of wants me to put like remember that show Win Ben Stein's Money?
Oh yeah. My goodness.
I always wanted to do a show like, can you stump George Hermosa? Let's
see, or win George Hermosa's money. You didn't disclose what the prize was for this question. So
tune in and find out what the prize is.
One of George's books.
Yeah, I do. I do got some duplicates out there. I will see. Okay. I mean, let's win JR's cookbook. 50% off. So I don't know. One of these days, we're gonna open up like a random page and just make whatever that is. You're gonna pick a number, and that's what we're gonna make for the day. That's a new show right there.
Hold on. Let me ask. Do we have JR's cookbook somewhere? Don't we? Yep. Yeah, confirmed. We have it as well.
Oh, look at that. Win George's Dodger jersey. I mean, it's got my name on the back. So joke's on you. When everybody's gonna be asking you, like, wait, who's Hermosa? Why is whatever. So SmackDown starts tonight with six competitors and a nice little promo battle with the six people in the men's Money in the Bank ladder match. I missed the days when they would start the show with six or with all the competitors on the actual ladders. That was always a cool visual, but you know, I guess you can't do it again. I do want to ask you guys first, because they talk back and forth, the usual, go home promo. Because we're gonna get into our predictions later on the show, and I know you guys, Jimmy, you did predictions a little bit on Wednesday or on Monday, so we're kind of we won't repeat everything once more time. But based on just the competitors, if you just saw this lineup, does this get you pumped, or do you think it's maybe missing one or two people? Do you think one person is out of place? I want to ask you, John. Like, is this the right selection for the Money in the Bank match?
I think so. I think you've got a lot of differing styles, different storylines going in. Everybody, the majority of them in there are in very prominent storylines right now. I will say that I watched a little bit of today's kickoff event. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel the greatest chemistry as they were bantering back and forth on the stage. But, I think that's pretty much freewheeling. They're just kind of going at it, loosely, as opposed to in previous eras when maybe they were, more scripted or whatever. And then I thought that tonight's opening segment, they all got their stuff in, as you would say, but it was a little clunky. I would have to think that the match itself comes across far more smoothly with everybody involved and so much time to prepare and think about it. And like I said, there's a lot of differing styles. I think sometimes that makes for a nice little stew, as they say, to go back to a cooking reference for you guys. I'm looking forward to it. There's nobody in there that I don't think is going to perform well or anything like that. I don't have those concerns, but really intrigued by how this gets pulled off.
What do you think, Jimmy?
No, I like the fact that it sounds like John said, it did come off at times feeling a little clunky, but I like that sometimes. It doesn't feel smooth because it feels natural.
Yeah,
because when everybody's talking, when you're having a conversation with somebody, sometimes you stutter over a word. Sometimes you stop to think about what you want to say. I do it all the time. So it felt natural as opposed to being very smooth in the delivery. And as far as the lineup in the match goes, I'm okay with it. Like you said, John, I like the different styles. I like the different heels and baby faces. But you can also see like we saw at the end of that segment, when Jay and LA Knight were working together to eliminate Drew from the ring, you could still see that there was a little bit of animosity only because of the way LA Knight portrays himself and comes across. Yes, he's a babyface, but you can also see him have a little bit of an edge to him, have a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. So I like that. And we had the nice little Yeet versus Yay battle going on, especially when they were hitting Drew, because every time Jay would punch him, the crowd would go yay yeet, and then when LA Knight would punch him, it would be yay, and it was back and forth and going on. So the crowd was into it, and that's what matters most, I guess.
So with that said, Jimmy, I'll ask you too as well, John. Are you team yeet or team yeah?
For now, I want to see team yeah.
I'm going to take the other side of that. I think I'm a yeet guy. And, not too long ago, if you told me I was going to say that on a podcast, that exact sentence, I would have told you were crazy. But, yes, mark me down on team yeet.
Team, wow.
The yeet flies have bitten John.
I guess I'll go with a tiebreaker. I am going to be team yeah, because I think he's due. I think Jey Uso's got some time. I think he's going to do great things. Plus, I think he's going to be a little busy with this upcoming bloodline thing that's going to be happening very, very soon. So I don't want there to be any kind of distraction. Like, I don't want him to win. And we'll get into predictions later, but I don't want him to win just for it to be taken away by, you know, some kind of outside distraction, which we'll get into.
Same, George. Same. That is not my pick. You just gave us the two options. So
next, we saw Piper. Oh, we saw Bayley in a backstage interview, but we saw Piper Niven come in and attack her, set up the match for later that night. But yeah, we saw our first tag team wrestling. I guess tonight was like a tribute to tag team wrestling. The Street Profits versus, yeah, boy, Pretty Deadly. And I've said it once before and I'll say it again. Pretty Deadly, top three theme songs of today, without a doubt. Jimmy, we'll get into a lot more of the tag division because we saw, you know, a great tag match at the end of the night. But is this a step in the right direction for the tag team division, which in my opinion has been very a little not so great in the last couple months?
I think it is the right step because it seems like the same approach they took with the women's division. They started featuring the women a lot more on television, which now when people look at it, they go, it doesn't feel out of place. It doesn't. Oh, great. We're getting a women's match. It feels natural. It feels like it belongs as part of the programming. Yeah. So if you start doing that with the tag division, it'll feel like, you know, we weren't missing anything in the first place. Make them feel like they're important. That's what they're doing. And the match itself, I thought, was pretty good. I'm a big fan of the Street Profits. I think they're good. Pretty Deadly. They got some stuff too, but Montez Ford is something else. And don't, a lot of people fall asleep on Angelo Dawkins. Don't count him short, because if this team ever were to break up, they got two guys that can go singles and really become something too.
I got just like a just random, because I think about this all the time, and I don't want to mean any disrespect to any of the people involved. Because a lot of times when teams break up, unfortunately, everybody's going to be like, well, who's going to be the Marty of the group? I don't think they should say that, because Marty Jannetty was quite accomplished after the breakup of the Rockers. He's a former Intercontinental Champion and a former Tag Team Champion. Like, there are a lot more people that have accomplished less than Marty Jannetty after a breakup. I want a petition. I don't know if anybody out there is good at that, to eliminate people thinking that people are going to be the Marty Jannetty of the group. Am I wrong? Like, no, why is it always Marty Jannetty?
You're not wrong. It's just because that Shawn Michaels achieved such great heights and was regarded as one of the best wrestlers on the planet. And it was such a disparity between their careers when they both went separate. You know, like you said, Marty Jannetty, great career, but Shawn Michaels was just that much higher, and if that makes any kind of sense.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's Shawn's success and the heights that he reached, but it's also one of the greatest breakups of all time. Yeah. So people remember that. And if they didn't see it then, they've seen it a million times on replays. Hard to top that. So that's why those who get Jannetty'd get stuck with that term.
I'm just throwing it out there. This hardcore match, Big Show versus Kane versus Raven, that was at WrestleMania 17.
So
that is not the right answer.
I would remember riding on the back of a golf cart being chauffeured by Kane.
But did you do that match though?
Yes.
Oh, you did the one in Houston? Okay. Yeah. Cool. So yeah, great match. I think, like I said, tag team division is getting back on track. I think it's been so far in this, I guess, Triple H regime, there's been a lot of good things that has happened that maybe has rejuvenated in many ways. And like people always say, it's a marathon, not a sprint. There is all the time in the world for this tag team division to get rebuilt. There is no rush. Even if it's not done tomorrow, even if it's done next year, it's never too late, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Speaking of more tag team wrestling, we saw Bianca and Jade going up against Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell. This was just kind of mostly a match to kind of have Bianca and Jade put them back on notice in the tag team division for the women. Yeah, I mean, not too bad. Kind of showcase that Jade Cargill is pretty, pretty good, no matter what anybody says. And Bianca's gonna Bianca her way through the women's division. Like, there's really not much to say about that. What do you think, Jordan or John? I'm gonna call you Jordan.
That's okay. That happens all the time. And sometimes I just get John Jordan, like it's all one word, like Cher. But anyway, so I have to think that I think we all think Bianca and Jade as a tag team is a limited amount of time. It's got a limited shelf life, right? Before they implode, and maybe there's SummerSlam or a WrestleMania match down the road for them. On the flips, but getting them back into the picture is great. On the flip side, where are we going with like a Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell? You know what I mean? They're both great in the ring. I just, how are they going to establish themselves and where are they in the pecking order right now? Because, you know, another loss tonight and I don't know where they fit in that division. Do they split, go the singles route or do something differently? They're both fantastic. I'm big fans. I just wonder kind of where that's going.
What do you think, Jimmy?
Yeah, that's an interesting, I was thinking more with the other team. I was thinking with Jade and Bianca, what's going to happen to them in the future. And will they, obviously somewhere they're going to split down the line. I just want to see for once a tag team split amicably.
Yeah.
Maybe they get together and say, you know what? It's time for you to go on your own and accomplish your goals. And by the way, if you ever need me, I got your back.
So I was going to ask, like, just kind of fantasy booking here. So you'd rather have both of them just kind of go their separate ways. John, like, would you have somebody turn heel or would you have one turn on the other one? Or
I think if the time was ever right for that amicable separation, maybe this would be it, right? Two mega athletes. And then, you know, it's all in the name of competition when they do finally meet without any animosity, you know, maybe there's a title in the picture or something like that. Maybe this is it. Maybe Jimmy's onto something there.
You just sparked something in my brain. If they do split amicably, let them have a nice little run, a singles run, each of them and doing their own thing. And then one achieves their ultimate goal. The other one, there's a little bit of jealousy, you know, and maybe a little animosity there that you achieved that she achieved something that the other one didn't. And maybe you got something there. I don't know. I just spitballing.
Came out of nowhere. I didn't put too much thought to that. So don't give me any credit or anything.
Tune in on Wednesday and you might be able to see George dance, but not here, not here on the SmackDown after show because no. I got nobody to dance for. So, I mean, maybe once we hear that CEO theme song on Wednesday, then maybe we'll talk.
Oh boy.
By the way, I'll get more into it this Wednesday, but what a great Dynamite show that actually was. But next we saw a promo by Randy Orton, Cody Rhodes and Kevin Owens. You know, Cody's going to Cody, Randy's going to Randy, but Kevin Owens is going to be the one that people are going to be talking about for a little bit just because he got pretty personal. You don't really hear too many personal things when it regards to Kevin Owens outside of his wrestling career, but he went there today and you can't help but to just root for the guy even more. Mm-hmm. You can't help but just to, you know, want good things for him. Yeah, like I said, there's really no criticism involved when it comes to these kind of things. Just want to say, you know, get well, Mama Owens, you know, Mama yes. Steen. Kind of adds a whole new wrinkle as well to this match. And really, you really want to see maybe the storyline further even more now that Kevin Owens did bring up the bloodline history of him battling them for about 4 years, as he mentioned. This one's going to be... this match tomorrow is going to be something else. What do you think, Jimmy?
No, I think this one's going to be off the charts and has the potential to be match of the night. I know they've got the Money in the Bank match, which usually delivers, but this one here, it's because of the emotion, the intensity that these guys are going to show, especially with Kevin Owens after that promo tonight. They're going to lay it all out there. We saw it in Lyon, France, when these guys battled it out. Mm-hmm. But I think tomorrow here in Toronto, it's going to be something special, and it's going to be something for the fans to really, really gravitate to. And who knows? Maybe the sympathy that we're feeling for Kevin Owens and the thoughts and prayers that are going out to his mom right now, maybe that plays into it a little bit too. You know, with I hate to foreshadow. We'll talk about it when we get to the prediction.
It's so hard to not jump to those thoughts, right? I want to do it all the time too. And I think I've spoiled my own predictions in the past, but I'd echo what George says. All the best to Kevin's mama and the family. And I hope everything turns around. One, you know, we talk about, this is a real life thing that worked its way into tonight's show. Right. But we talk all the time about the attention to detail that WWE pays. He made mention of, he could have missed tonight's show and maybe even tomorrow and nobody in the back would have, you know, batted an eye. And he also said nobody out here either. And I think he meant mostly the people that he was in the ring with. Mm-hmm. And as he did that over one of his shoulders, Randy Orton just kind of nodded in agreement. And I just thought that was cool. And that was probably, I'm sure that was authentic and real. And, you know, you hate to see, these things happen to folks, but, you know, again, the crowd's behind him. And of course, you know, you expect them to be. So all the best and looking forward to that match big time tomorrow.
I know people say like, you know, so-and-so kicked out at 2.99. I want to see Kevin Owens' mom kick out at one. just like not even a one count. Just all right, you know, fully recovered. So yes, kudos.
Cover kick out.
Yeah. is that what the term is? Cover kick out.
Yeah.
Just instead of a kick out at one.
Don't even wait for the one. As soon as the cover comes, just kick out.
Love it. Learning more lingo more and more every day. By the way, whenever I like wrestle, I'm still like, there's still so many things that I don't even know the names of, which is kind of embarrassing, but you know, whatever. then we saw a rematch of Clash of the Castle, Bayley versus Piper Niven. But this one was a little bit different because we saw a lot of interference on this one. We already had Chelsea at ringside. And like John said, I'm a big fan of the little things. This is something that I noticed, and I think people are going to miss it, but I want to point it out. You had people from Raw, right? You had Lyra, Zoe Stark, and who's the other one? Lyra, Zoe Stark, and Io Sky. They were in the crowd, as opposed to Naomi and Tiffany Stratton that came down through the aisle. I just like those little details, because why would Io, why would the three Raw girls not be in the crowd? Because they don't belong on the SmackDown locker room. So I little tiny things that I just kind of like noticed, and I'm like, all right, you know, somebody's really doing their paying attention, and I just love that. Yeah, like I said, good match. It didn't really have the oomph and the pizzazz at that match, Clash of the Castle, just because the stakes weren't there as much as it was in Scotland. But still, you know, a good match considering what's tomorrow night. This didn't need to be the five-star classic, I guess you can say, based on what we were talking about earlier. But, you know, it was good.
Yeah.
It served a purpose, right? It further things for tomorrow night with some of those involved in the ladder match. And we got that interference that you were talking about. And obviously someone who's got their eye on Bayley's title come SummerSlam to fulfill the shot that Nia Jax earned with Queen of the Ring. So it served a purpose. It did its job.
Yep. It's one of the things that WWE is doing very well right now, is planting those seeds. And also everything they do, there's always a reason for it. Nothing is done by accident. And I like what you said, George, that they do pay attention to the little details, the minute things. And again, that's one of the things that, especially under this regime, they're not letting anything fall between the cracks. Everything has a meaning and that sort of thing. So hats off to them. And like you said, George, the match was okay. There's nothing wrong with the match.
Yeah, nothing wrong with it. Okay. Okay. No, like it was everything it needed to be. And that was
exactly. Good. Exactly. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like you said, not everything has to be a banger after banger after banger. Yeah, so.
Then after the match, we saw Nia Jax come in and attack Bayley. And then we saw Mi Chin come in and kind of give Bayley the save and set up their match for next week on SmackDown, which should be fun. I think Mi Chin has been doing amazing things at NXT. And I really hope that she's able to, you know, transfer some of that energy onto next Friday, because that's got the potential to be a really good match. And then we got the main event, another tag team championship match in Toronto. We've seen plenty throughout the years, dating back to WrestleMania 6, Demolition versus Colossal Connection, which is not the answer, by the way. And that was a title change back then. And they kind of alluded to the fact that in 2016 at the TakeOver for Survivor Series, we saw DIY against the Revival, and that was a tag team title change as well. So now we saw DIY as challengers going up against A-Town Down Under as champions. This was, speaking of bangers, this one was a banger. So again, going back to what the last match, it needed everything to be. This match was everything it needed to be in terms of awesomeness. John, I want to ask you, where do you think this holds up as far as some of the great tag team matches? And what do you think of A-Town Down Under's title reign since winning it at WrestleMania?
Oh, well, not the biggest Austin Theory guy. I'm glad that that's going to get shuffled up a little bit. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. But I also was a big NXT Black and Gold guy, so really love the callbacks. Very happy with the titles being on DIY. And the crowd seemed to love it, so how can you argue it? Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Jimmy?
I think it was a good call to have this match in Toronto, because Toronto and Johnny Gargano, he resonates in Toronto because he's done a lot of work here.
Yeah.
So the fans are very familiar with him, and Tommaso Ciampa as well. But for starting off the match, obviously they got the nice reaction coming out. At the beginning of the match, they were a little bit quiet, but boy, did they get the crowd back. Because a lot of those false finishes, they were biting on. It was crazy. And I like the finish. I really mm-hmm. did like the finish. It was a little bit different. Yes, you know, coming in with the submission that Johnny Gargano had, and then Tommaso Ciampa, the way he ended up getting the submission after the save, so to speak. I've never seen a save like that where you prevented your partner's hand from tapping, you know, and then he got the submission put on him, which with the tap happening later, it was a good, and the crowd, they popped. So maybe this, you know, the audience watching at home that have been a little bit not on board with DIY are going to say, hey, you know what? The crowd loves them. Hey, maybe there is something there. Maybe they'll buy into it too.
And they used the Shatter Machine and called out by name as well in commentary, which I thought was really cool. And I forgot to share that I brought them along just like I've been doing here lately. I raid the boys' stash once again. So,
oh man, I should have brought out. I had these two just randomly. I think this is Mitch from the Spirit Squad, and we got Shannon Moore in my background. So, for tomorrow, I'll have something different. Maybe something more Money in the Bankish, I guess you can say.
There you go.
But yeah, like I said, this match, I thought it was phenomenal. I thought it was fantastic. Kudos to everyone involved. But I do want to ask a little bit of follow up. Jimmy, where do you think A-Town Down Under goes from here? They've been teasing a little bit of dissension the past couple weeks as far as maybe Austin Theory breaking away. I don't see Grayson Waller becoming a babyface anytime soon. He's just got a very, very unlikable, and in a very good way, very, very unlikable presence. But what do you think is next for these guys, for Theory and Waller?
I think you're right. I think there is going to be a split in the future for these guys, but it's going to be curious to see how they do it, where one of them – usually when there's a split, so there's a baby face and a heel, but how do you make Austin Theory a baby face or even Grayson Waller, especially Grayson Waller, who's a perfect heel on anti-social media. So you know what I mean? So that's going to be a challenge. If they are going to split them up, who's going to be the protagonist and who's going to be the antagonist?
Who's going to be the Jannetty of the team, right?
I thought we did away with that.
What do you think, John?
Oh,
what do you think is next for these guys?
I've been saying for a while that something that John Cena said to Austin Theory before their WrestleMania showdown, I thought had a lot of truth to it, and that he didn't believe him out there and in his character work on, and that led to their feud. But I think there was some reality in there. I've never really fully bought into this incarnation of Austin Theory, but now that I think about it, if he's going to be the babyface out of these two, because I agree with you, George, I don't think that's going to happen for Grayson Waller anytime soon. Maybe there's something to be done with Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell, and there's a, you know, going back to their NXT days, and maybe they put a new polish on him, or, you know, lift him up somehow or something like that. I'm just trying to connect some dots for some people that I think need some new direction. But I thought the match was great again. I thought it accomplished a ton, and I think that this is going to be a big kick in the booty for that tag team division like we talked about. By the way, I happen to notice that Bernie DC made a comment about Demolition being featured in one of the vignettes tonight. And there you go. And that, you know, maybe they finally get their call to the Hall of Fame. I don't remember very many mentions of Demolition or Demolition highlights being shown in recent years. And I know there's been some longstanding beef there reportedly. So I noticed that too. Very cool. It didn't get past me.
Well, that's good that you pointed that out, John, because that's one of the things I've noticed, again, under this new regime, is they are mending fences with a lot of talent from the past who may have had gripes, may have had a bitter exit from the company. So I like the fact that they are extending the olive branch to a lot of talent.
And even so, and even when they're doing this, I'm sorry, real quick, when they're doing that Money in the Bank thing, they featured Edge on it. And that's, I feel like that's something that we wouldn't have seen about a couple years ago.
Right.
That's exactly what I was going to say, you know, and saying his name. Exactly. We are simpatico, buddy. And the visuals of Chris Jericho, by the way, I saw Claudio Castagnoli in there and so on and so forth. So not afraid to go in that direction anymore, and nor should they be.
Yeah. Even though this was the main event of the show, and what a main event it was, this wasn't the last thing that we saw on SmackDown. We saw some, I guess you can say, some parting words from the quote-unquote new Tribal Chief Solo Sikoa. I'm not gonna lie, when I saw that we still had that to come, I thought that meant that like A-Town Down Under was going to win, and so it goes to show what the hell do I know about anything about putting on a wrestling show. But yeah, like I said, it just what it was, what it was. John, do you think this is the way to go in terms of his character? I always thought they were doing something in where it was going to be Solo trying to take over and Roman coming back and, you know, kind of reclaiming his place. But it sounds like they're just going full balls to the wall. Like, nah, man, like Roman's a thing of the past. You know, yeah, I'm the captain now.
I think it works. And I actually wrote something in one of our opinion columns after last week's SmackDown, in saying that as much as Roman Reigns really dug into the heel side of his persona as the tribal chief, as the head of the table and so on and so forth, there was always still this respect there. I think Solo Sikoa, being the more of the newcomer on the block, hasn't been around all that long, right? And there may have been others that thought that they, and there were others that thought they were next in line long before him. But as soon as Roman is out of the picture, he just assumed it. And I think that's really, really working well for his character, and people are really buying into to hating him, which is fantastic. And then tonight in that vignette where he just straight up calls out Roman, I mean, that's, you can't go back from that now, right? I think we know where we're going here at some point. So yeah. I'm here for it. It looks great to me.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved every bit of it. I mean, this whole Bloodline storyline, when people thought, oh my goodness, it's kind of jumped the shark. All of a sudden we get new layers and new levels to it. And this one tonight where we got to see Solo sitting down, like not just the head of the table, it almost felt like a mafia movie.
Yeah,
you know, that's the vibe you got from it. Their visuals right now with their cinematography, I can't even spit it out, is second to none right now. And you can't argue that fact. And Solo tonight, I think, showed a lot more confidence in his speaking ability. He shows that he's ready to go to that next level. But a lot of people are saying that was the one thing he was lacking. There's not a problem with his ring. There's not an in-ring ability. There's not a problem with his intensity in the ring, showing that aggression, you know, emoting with his face, but you also have to emote with verbally. And that was the one thing that people were kind of on the fence with. I think he's starting to turn that corner. He's starting to really, really gravitate and buy into this character that he's taking. And he's making people chant, "We want Roman." And that's the big thing. People want to see that happen, and it's going to happen. And when it does, man.
I also thought it was a really wise decision to put them in a pre-tape package this week after such an impactful spot last week, because how are you going to top that live? You know, beating the brakes off of poor Paul Heyman. this was the right way to go. And I just thought that was a great little touch.
Something I did notice, and you kind of touched upon it, John, is like Roman Reigns and his character. Like, you know, obviously there's certain extremes when it comes to it, but there's really nothing wrong with wanting the absolute best for your family. And, you know, there's a little things that people notice where, and I noticed it too, where you have Roman Reigns and everything that's happened to him in the past year with Jimmy, with Jay, with even with Sammy. If you notice, Roman never made the first strike. I don't know if anybody noticed that. It's always Jimmy super kicking him. It's always Jay super kicking him. It's always Sammy hitting him with a chair. So Roman's never really the one that like makes that first like, hey, I'm going to turn on you now, right? As opposed to Solo, he, you know, did what he needed to do to Paul Heyman, and that's just kind of step one. That's something. Do you think Roman's character is going to change drastically, or does he come back and kind of just still be the person that he was? Let me go with you, John.
I think you can't avoid him coming back. It's like the hugest baby face in the universe, right? First and foremost. But his family, you mentioned family, his family is a bit of a mess right now. And it might be up to him to kind of restore order. And sometimes there's some tough love to be dished out, right? I think that's certainly the case here, especially when you've got, you know, little cousin here calling him out in a pretty aggressive manner in the what we saw tonight. So I think he comes back. He's got a mess to clean up, or at least help clean up.
What do you think, Jimmy?
No, I like that analysis. And Roman has, he's we've seen both sides of Roman Reigns. We've seen the babyface side. We've seen this heel side. The heel persona was more intriguing. It was more cerebral. It was more, you know. But like you said, it was a nice call there, George, where he had others do his dirty work for him. That's what a real mob boss does. Mm-hmm. That's what a real head of the family does. Yep. You know what I mean? It doesn't get his hands dirty. He lets other people do the dirty work for him. And that's the difference here. And Solo is like a mad beast unleashed. And he's got, three other guys that are very similar in their approach. And it's going to be interesting to see how Roman's demeanor when he comes back. Is it going to be that same kind of thing? Is it going to be a little bit of a different Roman Reigns? I don't want to see the Shield Roman Reigns that we saw years ago. I want to see a new iteration. Take someone like The Undertaker over the years, mm-hmm. From when he first debuted to the Dead Man to Biker Taker, or he evolved over the years. I want to see how this new iteration, when Roman does eventually come back, how he presents it on television, how different it's going to be.
Either way, they haven't missed in anything that they've done in the last year or two. So I think whatever they end up doing, it's going to just be phenomenal. Clearly, they're building up toward Rock and Roman at WrestleMania 41. So with that said, I want to get into some predictions a little bit, just because, there's Money in the Bank tomorrow. Like I mentioned, I know you did a lot more predictions on Raw's after show, but I do want to bring up one thing specifically, because I noticed in the graphic it was Cody, Randy, and KO going up against the Bloodline. But I noticed, and I don't know if you guys noticed this too, it was Solo, Tama Tonga, and Jacob Fatu as like the three main people. And you saw Tangaloa kind of behind the three in a kind of a smaller graphic. Mm-hmm. I can only assume that this is going to be the three, Tama, mm-hmm. Jacob, and Solo. With that said, what do you guys think is going to happen in this match? And does Roman come out at the end of the night or at the end of the match for his big comeback? Or is that maybe wait off until SummerSlam?
Too soon. I think it's too soon. I think in this match, we're going to have a lot of chaos, obviously, with what's going on with these six are no strangers to one another. I think you're right. I think the three, it'll be Solo, Tama Tonga, and Tangaloa going against Randy.
So not, you don't think it'll be Jacob? Because I saw Jacob more so front and center, as opposed to Tangaloa was the one I saw kind of in the background.
That's interesting. But I thought it was interesting last week that Jacob Fatu got his own entrance music.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's standing out from the Bloodline, other than Solo, of course. So maybe it's going to be those three, and Jacob Fatu does play a factor in the finish of the match. Mm-hmm. But I think there's going to be a little something that plants another seed where, let's say they get into a big schmuck. Here I am, my fantasy book. I would say Cat, but it's not there. where there's a lot of chaos going on. The baby faces are fighting off the heels and so forth. Randy and Cody are back to back, and as they stumble back, they bump into each other. Randy blindly RKOs Cody, lays him out, and then we start getting the was it intentional or was it not, planting a seed maybe down the road for SummerSlam, because Randy does need a big time heel other than Solo. You don't want to do Solo too soon, in my opinion, but the perfect foil I think right now would be Randy.
And he sure has been eyeballing that lovely title every chance he gets lately, right?
Little things.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. I feel like in the promo that Solo made it very clear that he was going to participate in the match tomorrow himself. But I don't think if they wanted us to know exactly who was in right now, we would probably know, right? I think there's a little bit of mystique there now. I think it could go in any combination of the four, three of them, right? But whoever that fourth is on the outside is probably going to play a big factor. You know how these things go, right? And who knows? Are there other Bloodline members that we haven't met yet? There's always the little more sprinkling in of other branches of that tree, perhaps. But I agree with Jimmy. I think it's far too soon for Roman. As much as the crowd is clamoring for him, that's only going to get hotter and hotter, and things move forward. So you've got the opportunity to further the strength of this evil Bloodline 2.0, if you will, and you've also got the opportunity to set up whatever might be next for Cody, kind of like Jimmy was alluding to, perhaps.
Just get a little bit more predictions out there. Who do you have as Mr. and Miss Money in the Bank, John?
I have Drew McIntyre taking down the briefcase. I think he was a little prophetic when he said that he wasn't, he was not only was going to win the briefcase, but he was going to leave Money in the Bank as champion. I think I'm not going to say that I think that that's necessarily going to happen. I think he's going to try, but I think you might have a little interference there as well, if you will. And I like Miss Chelsea Green to get the briefcase on the women's side.
What about you, Jimmy?
At first I thought that Chad Gable would be an interesting choice for the Money in the Bank. But then I kind of flip-flopped, and I'm going to go with L.A. Knight, because I think him winning the Money in the Bank briefcase, instead of going after someone, like people say, well, he's a babyface. Would he go after Cody Rhodes? No, but he's in a feud with another champion, U.S. champion Logan Paul. And it doesn't necessarily say that the Money in the Bank winner has to challenge for a world title or a universal championship. So maybe he challenges Logan Paul and tries to cash in on him, and that would make the United States Championship feel even that much more important if you're going to use your Money in the Bank briefcase to cash in on that championship.
Yeah, we saw Austin Theory do it a couple years ago, unsuccessfully, might I add. Mm-hmm. With that said, what do you think is going to be the thing that everybody talks about after the show? I feel like something big always happens on at one of these shows. 3 years ago, we had John Cena come back, and that was the first pay-per-view after, you know, the pandemic, after the Thunderdome era. You know, so I feel like we still see some pretty cool things coming out of these PLEs, whether it's the crowd, Jimmy, whether it's somebody coming back, whether it's having a match of the decade. What do you think is going to be what everybody talks about after Money in the Bank?
I think I spoiled it with my fantasy booking there. I think people are going to be talking about Randy Orton and what he did to Cody. I think that's the perfect seed to plant for SummerSlam, in my opinion.
Well, what do you always say that they remember the most? The last thing you show them, right? Mm-hmm. I think the World Heavyweight Championship match is gonna main event this thing. I think if my prediction is correct, look at me and Jimmy both, like his fantasy booking, my prediction. We've got this nailed, right? Yeah. I think if my prediction is correct and Drew comes out to cash in, maybe it looks like a done deal. And here comes the second city Saint again to ruin things for Drew for the umpteenth time. Right. But we'll see. And you know, that would work for a lot of reasons. But I don't know. Well, I think it has to happen if McIntyre does win.
Right. Either way, it should be fun. And guess what? In about 24 hours, me and John are going to be here on Wrestling Inc. talking all about it. And I tell you what, I cannot wait.
We're hanging out all weekend, buddy.
We're hanging out tomorrow. We're going to be hanging out on Sunday for Heat Wave from NXT. Jimmy, are you going to be there tomorrow?
You know what? I'm still undecided. I may pop in again and make a visit, but we'll see. Because there's one thing I do notice is that I love watching it at home because I like listening to it with commentary. I'm spoiled now. Mm-hmm. Watching it all this, I know you could probably sit in the back and listen to it, but it's not the same. It's two different things. You sit out in the arena and watch it and absorb the atmosphere, which is something great, but you just don't get the commentary. I don't know. I'm still, like I said, I'm still undecided. Who knows?
One Maybe more question, Jimmy. One more question from behind the scenes. Did you have some of the catering?
You know what? Honestly, I didn't. I was it was upstairs, and I didn't feel like climbing all those stairs to get up there. But no, I was having too much fun just hanging out with the guys. So, you know.
Was there anybody that you met that you haven't met before that you're like, wow, like I like this person? I'm sure there's a few.
Yeah, a few. There was a few. Carmelo Hayes.
Okay.
It was kind of cool. I liked him. He was a good dude. And there was a lot of other guys that I got to see that were really cool. And I got to see Dom, which was nice because he was, I haven't seen him since he was like four years old when we'd have shows in San Diego and Ray would bring him to the shows and we'd be wrestling around in the ring and just having a little fun, you know? And he remembered that. And I was like, oh, wow.
Like in 2008, I worked on this Spanish talk show out in like that Universal. It was for Telemundo, and we had Rey Mysterio on one time, and he brought Dominic, and he must have been like what 10 years old, if that. And yeah, just I remember asking him, I'm like, hey man, so you're gonna be a wrestler? He's like, no, I want to be a football player. And then look at him now. Yeah, I wonder if he remembers that, but I doubt it. Before we wrap up, I did not forget. We actually had two people answer it correctly. I don't know if one person got it right because the other person said it. But you said you had an idea, John. What was going to be your guess?
I didn't say I had an idea. I said I had a guess. My guess would have been at 18, Jericho, Triple H.
Jimmy, is that correct?
Incorrect.
Incorrect. He doesn't know the answer, but he knows what it wasn't.
No, I know. I do remember the answer now. It took me a while.
Okay, well then what's the answer?
If I'm not mistaken, it was DDP versus Christian in the European Championship match.
Sonny Sitar and Jose Topete and Jimmy Corderas and George Hermosa, because he's the one that answered it. Or he's the one that asked it. All got it correct. So kudos to everybody.
DDP retained, right?
DDP retains. Yes. The big prize, you guys get an air high five. So if you, Sonny and Jose, make sure you put your hand up on the screen for that high five. Jimmy, since you will not be joining us this weekend, unfortunately, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me here usually on Monday nights and Wednesday nights after Raw and Dynamite, respectively. Just chatting it up, loving it, as always. And you catch me on the Roughing It Up podcast with my good brother in stripes, Brian and RJ, who holds the glue together. Last week, we had Jared Fritz from, Referee Extraordinaire from NWA and many other promotions. Nice. Good guy, smart guy. And he has a lot of other stuff on the go, too. So check it out. He's got a really knowledgeable guy. And this week, the coach, Jonathan Coachman, joins us, my old buddy. It's going to be some interesting things to talk about. I know he doesn't want to talk about Chimmel, but I'm going to bring him up anyways because it gets him all hot. And, of course, my rants I do every day from Monday to Friday, just a minute or so long. Little critiques here and there, or to put something over, and sometimes just to rile people up.
Here's a little fun fact. I started my YouTube channel in July of 2020, and Jonathan Coachman was my first ever interview on my channel.
Wow.
So, yeah, Coach
is a good guy, man.
Coach is a tremendous guy. Yeah. John, after you read Behind the Three Counts, I know you'll be watching ECW. I know you're going to be watching NXT and Money in the Bank, but where else can people find you in the meantime, aside from your awesome articles on Wrestling Inc.?
Follow me on the X at John Jordan, no H. As always, I like to point that out. But yeah, I'll be here all weekend. Your podcasting pinch hitter extraordinaire is going for the hat trick Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So I hope you guys don't get sick of me. But hey, when they need me, it's like the bat signal. They throw it out. Here I am. Say my name and I'll appear too. Somebody believes in John Jordan.
That could be a song. Thankful. Say my name.
Oh, that's
I am John Jordan.
Yeah. I'll sing. George will dance. It's
yeah.
Great. Oh, there you go.
Love it. Can't say I want anything more in life. I'm George Hermosa, G Hermosa. You can follow my channel on the YouTube channel, The Wrestling Chatter. I cannot wait to see everybody in the chat. Come back tomorrow. Come back Sunday. Right here on Wrestling Inc. So we can talk all things Money in the Bank, all things NXT Heatwave. Until then, I'll see you soon.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.